the Diamondbacks have their worst losing streak so far this year. The bullpen has negative aura. But we're finally trading for a closer? All this and more coming up on the T-Backs podcast.
Perdomo makes the play.
And a high fly ball. No doubt about this. Home run Marte.
They're going to send the ball all the way around. Corbin Carroll with it inside the park. Answer back.
I'm Ivan Melendez.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
I'm Tori Lovello, and you're listening to the T-Backs podcast.
T-Backs podcast.
T-Backs podcast.
Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the T-Backs podcast, where we bring you all the hottest Arizona Diamondbacks tea and talk from across the pond here in London. We're proud to be Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast, and I'm here drinking my Teavana cold brew, cold infusion iced tea because it's finally gotten warm. We've discovered what the sun is here in the UK. It's a balmy 26 degrees Celsius, that's 78.8 Fahrenheit for my friends over in the United States. But unfortunately, that heat has not translated to the Diamondbacks' form chart. They've gone very, very cold. It's been a rough week of Diamondbacks baseball, with extra inning errors leading to losses, bullpen drama as usual, but maybe, just maybe, we're going to make that big closer trade everyone is expecting during the Stove League. We'll talk more about the Snakes' pursuit of St. Louis Cardinals closer Ryan Helsley in a bit, but first let's catch you up on this past week. Started off with Rays Game 1, which was a little bit of business as usual. We got a quality start from Brandon Fart, who's rapidly putting together what some are calling a Cy Young kind of numbers campaign. And the game also included a home run from future MVP Paven Smith, which brings their numbers over 400 average with a 12.73 with a 1.273 OPS. Juan Murillo had arrived from Reno to bolster up the bullpen, and the Diamondbacks' defense turned three double plays in the game and looked far less shaky as the Diamondbacks won 5-1. And then it was all downhill from there. Speaking of double plays, it was the Rays' turn to turn two double plays in the second match, making a clutch play in extra innings to take the win. Erod was on the mound, currently leads the team in strikeouts, by the way, who went up, was aggressive in the first inning, struck out two of the first three, followed up by Corbin Carroll hitting his usual first inning homer and probably cementing his status as one of the best leadoff guys in baseball this year. At that point, he was 351 with eight homers, including a huge center field blast later in the game as well. But Erod didn't keep the strikeouts rolling, gave up three hits, two runs in the second. Wasn't necessarily a bad job by the Diamondbacks starter to get to the seventh, gave up six hits, four earned. But it was a lot less shut down than the Diamondbacks really needed, and the bullpen had a rough night from then onwards. That's been a recurring theme for the Diamondbacks recently. Miller, Thompson, Martinez, Murillo, and Jameson were all used in that game. It was Thompson who gave the Rays some easy runs. And, you know, middle-of-the-zone sliders off speed will always do that to you, especially when you're trying to front door that slider a lot. And it just hangs up in the zone. It's a bit of a nothing pitch, really. And you have to imagine that Ryan Thompson's slot goes to Ginkle or Graveman when either of those dudes come off the injury list. Then after that, Murillo and the defense did the job in the 10th, but Dre Jameson came in and really got knocked around to let the game go to 7-5 in favor of the Rays. And after grabbing one back, Jarolo Perdomo couldn't quite beat out the ground out double play throw, and that was an L in the column for the Diamondbacks and Dre Jameson. In that case, they weren't necessarily bad, but the Rays were a bit better and a little bit luckier too, and the bullpen not having confidence in themselves, like I said, is going to be a recurring theme in this weekly review. Game 3 against the Rays was another L. That was 7-4, and after that loss, the Diamondbacks had now lost four of their last six and surrendered the series 2-1 to the Devil Rays as well. The pen squandered leads in the seventh inning or later in three of those four losses, and within that game stretch, the bullpen had a line combined of 21 innings pitched, giving up 30 hits, 19 runs, 16 earned, 27 strikeouts, 5 home runs with a 6.85 ERA. And that's not great for, you know, a bullpen that does need to do some extra work if some starting pitchers aren't quite doing the numbers we had hoped they might be achieving. And the result of this was J.P. Fierson, World Series winner, of course, got optioned to Reno. Number 6 organizational prospect Yulber Diaz was recalled, And that was something of an expected move to try and rejig a faded and underperforming bullpen, but it didn't really make much difference. And it didn't really make much difference, again, down to Torey Lovullo decisions, deciding to go to Ryan Nelson in a high leverage situation, whereas we're used to seeing Ryan Nelson out of the pen as a long relief guy, not a high leverage guy. Didn't help that going into the homestand against the Atlanta Braves. And the Braves were building some momentum after what could only be described as a disastrous start to the year. I think they went 0-7 to start the year. But they got the better of us. Another loss followed for the Diamondbacks. The team slumped to an 8-2 defeat. It was a poor performance from Zach Gallen. His stats for the year get worse and worse. He's now surrendered 16 earned runs over his last 18.2 innings pitched, which is a 7.71 ERA over that time frame, which is not what you expect from your opening day starter, number one guy in the rotation, ace, whatever you want to call him. Zach Gallen, aside from that one game in the cold at the Yankees, has not been on it. And I think it's going to mean his trade stock is going to go down if we want to try and offload him. I think he's going to realize that, you know, he's not going to get the kind of money he might have commanded this time last year when it comes to his approaching free agency. And that's a shame for Zach. It's maybe a good thing for the Diamondbacks if they do want to consider extending him. Maybe there'll be less teams chasing Zach Gallen, but it all depends. Baseball is fickle. Baseball can be crazy. For all we know, Zach Gallen doesn't get signed by anybody, rejects an extension that Diamondbacks, goes somewhere crazy, and then is amazing there for no money, which, you know, would be a very Diamondbacks thing to happen. But right now, he's not the milkman we know and love, and that is a shame. I really want to see him do well, because when he does well, the Diamondbacks do well, but it wasn't quite happening. Next day, we had something of a historic day. Gino Suarez sent his bat absolutely flying every direction at all these hanging high pitches that he got. That bat is now on its way to the Hall of Fame because he had himself a 4-homer game, the first player in the major leagues to do it since J.D. Martinez did it for the Diamondbacks against the Dodgers way back in 2019. And despite that, the Diamondbacks still managed to lose in extra innings. It was a quality start by Merrill Kelly, but Torey Lovullo refused to follow what pretty much every Diamondbacks fan was calling out for in the bullpen. Should have been Shelby Miller in the 8th, J-Mart in the 9th, but instead went for Ryan Thompson and Jalen Beeks, who combined to give up 5 runs off of 5 hits. An interesting stat that was pointed out by Goldschmidt happens over on X. For those of you who love an interesting point of view, is that the Diamondbacks haven't really had a set 7-8-9 bullpen sequence, if you exclude 2023 with Ginkel, Thompson, Sewald, since 2019. And the Diamondbacks, as a result, have blown 3 leads in 4 days because Torey Lovullo doesn't trust the numbers. He's going for like the preferred matchups and he's trying to like protect some of the arms, which is, you know, you can see it to a certain degree, but some things are just crying out for people who have a little bit more confidence in themselves, which Thompson, Beeks, you know, Nelson clearly don't have right now. When you look at Shelby Miller's line, 10.2 innings pitched, no runs, 0.47 WAHIP with 12 Ks, and Justin Martinez, 9 innings pitched, no runs, 11 Ks, and a 0.56 whip. What about those numbers means you shouldn't trust them at all? Not entirely sure there in that situation. If you want another minor footnote stat to distract from the woes of the bullpen, utility man Tim Towers, number 5 in wins above replacement amongst this year's rookies. So my campaign to get a Tim Tower jersey lives to fight another day. There's your little bright spot to stave off some of the depression so far as we continue to post-mortem what has been a crushing week for the Diamondbacks for the most part. But here we go. Let's look at some positives. The final game of the Braves series started with Brandon Fart on the mound, who for the first time in his career had 4 straight wins going into this game, looking to make it 5. He found himself working into some early trouble, but a fantastic piece of defensive play from Corbin Carroll combining with Jose Herrera got Alex Verdugo at home plate. And Brandon got Matt Olson to sort of fly out into a scoreless first inning. Hallelujah. He was a guy I was really worried about, but Matt Olson went fairly quiet last night because it's Monday as I'm recording this now. Corbin led off the night with a triple, driving a line drive into the left side and absolutely motoring around. At the time of hitting that triple, it was the fastest to third plate in the major leagues. Later on the night, he did it again and broke his own record. But he was promptly driven in by Geraldo Perdomo on a sack fly. Brandon Fart stranded two in the second as well. Clearly, he went and made some adjustments, and there were some things that were happening in his last start, and some people said, yeah, he needs to change this. And I think he might have overcorrected or overcompensated on his fastball arm action a bit, but he brought the devastating sweeper back a lot more. We haven't seen too much of it in 2025, and it was working pretty well. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. drove in Gino Suarez in the second on a sack fly before Tim Tower turned an absolutely effortless double play to get the Braves in the top of the third, stranding another one, and another solid inning followed as Brandon got the Braves in the fourth, 1-2-3. Josh Naylor and Gino Suarez got back-to-back knocks before Alec Thomas smacked a nice triple. It was one RBI there before Gino got caught at home, but it was an extension of the lead. Alex Verdugo came back up to the bat and was hot once again, batting in the Braves' first run in the fifth, but Fart did a good job to limit the damage, and Geraldo Perdomo cranked a homer to right field, which made it 4-1 in the fifth. It breaks up his dry spell a little bit, and hopefully he can kick on from there. And Brandon Fart had a scoreless sixth to lock in a solid inning and made it into the seventh, then started to struggle a bit, gave up a few knocks. That triggered Torey Lovello getting him out, sending in Shelby Miller, who did end up loading the bases, but did get out of the inning with the Diamondbacks still leading 4-3. Corbin Carroll got the seventh inning started, managed to lose a contact lens, and still rake a second triple of the day, breaking his own record. Then Perdomo hit a smooth swim move to dodge the tag at second, creating some chaos to then steal third. And Josh Naylor followed up this good sequence with an uber-clutch 2-RBI double on a full count with two outs. Ryan Thompson finally didn't suck and got a 1-2-3 eighth inning. And finally, we got J-Mark coming in the ninth. But interestingly, we might have all been wrong about we definitely needed J-Mark because he struggled. He hit a batter, he walked a batter and gave up a run. Although he did end up getting the save, finally working the way he wanted to do, getting that splitter, sinker, fastball sequence working well. And the Diamondbacks snapped the losing streak. Now, it's easy to take some comfort from that win. Avoiding the sweep is always nice. Never feels good when you get swept, especially by the Braves, who always take a lot of fans to Chase Field. And there's been quite a few reports of some incidents happening with Braves fans being less than respectful on the road. So it's always nice to avoid letting them sweep the team. But then it was sort of killed the apps for a bit because news broke that Yelber Diaz had been sent back to Reno. And everyone's favorite pitcher, Scott McGuff, had been recalled. Now, his ERA in Reno is deceptive. Six of his 6.32 ERA had come in one particular game. But he'd been closer to a 1 ERA most of the year. But in spring training, he struggled mightily against major league hitters. And, you know, he's been really quite disastrous for the Diamondbacks previously. He has such a negative vibe, a negative aura, that we talked about at the top of the show, that most Diamondbacks fans are like, oh, who's coming in? Oh, it's Scott McGuff. Oh, no. He's had some really, really quite gut-wrenchingly bad performances in a Diamondbacks jersey, and I appreciate that perhaps Torey is going for somebody with a little more experience in the state right now just to be a more of a steadying influence in the bullpen, but the steadying influence in the bullpen still needs to be reliable when called upon, and we haven't seen that out of Scott McGuff. Just because he was an all-star closer in Japan doesn't mean that he's exactly what we need right now in the Diamondbacks bullpen that can't really figure out what the heck it's up to. So that brings the question, what is the solution? And that brings us nicely onto the talking point of this episode. The solution, supposedly, is Ryan Helsley. If you don't know who that is, that's the closer over at the St. Louis Cardinals, who is a target, supposedly, according to Sports Illustrated, for both the Diamondbacks and the Phillies. He was a name mentioned as a possible acquisition in the summer, but that rumor mill went a little bit cold. But now with AJ Puck sidelined for what is, quote, the foreseeable future, the Diamondbacks' high-levering platoon is down to Shelby Martinez and the currently unreliable, although undeniably talented, Justin Martinez. So Helsley represents a significant step in what's probably the right direction, especially with Kendall Graveman and Kevin Ginkel on the road to recovery, but definitely not ready to be out of the Reno frying pan and into the fire that is currently raging in the Diamondbacks bullpen. Here's a little bit more on Ryan Helsley if you want some stats and figures and general nerdy stuff. Since he became the Cardinals closer in 2022, he's been pretty dominant. He's got a combined 1.83 ERA, a 34.6% strikeout rate, 83 saves, and his ERA trails only Emmanuel Clase and Devin Williams in closers. Won the National League Reliever of the Year last year and led the majors with 49 saves in 2024. 2025, so far, he's got a 0.1 WAR, one win, no losses, four saves in 10 games, but it's not amazing on paper, but he comes with a certain amount of confidence, and we talked about negative aura with Scott McGuff, I think. Helsley arrives with very much a positive aura. He's very sought after. A few teams are after him, not including us and the Phillies. Valued around the $8.2 million mark per year, according to some of the Phillies publications who are covering the potential trade. But the same stories and the articles that I've been reading are also very clear that the Phils aren't willing to give up any of their future stars in any trade. So that's the likes of Andrew Painter or Aiden Miller off the table. And the situation over the Cardinals isn't great either. They can't seem to decide if 2025 is a target win year or a rebuild or restructure year. And Helsley himself is apparently surprised to have been still with the Cardinals after an all-star year marked by a velocity increase up to around 102 miles per hour on his fastball. He finds himself sitting in a losing team. The 12-16 record puts them last in the NL Central, fourth in the NL Central, sorry. So it doesn't look like a competitive year to me. And the Cardinals might be looking for some strong prospects if they're going to potentially rebuild following, you know, a few major departures in this offseason. And I think that's where the Diamondbacks can get the jump on the Phillies. If the Phillies are saying, no, you can't have our top guys. The Diamondbacks organization, on the other hand, is stacked with prospects in a number of positions. And the Cardinals are fending off offers on a number of key pieces. They turned down around the $50 million mark for versatile infield star Nolan Arenado earlier in the year. But if the season keeps going the way it is, I can't imagine Arenado being around forever. And they're also likely to be looking to dump the veteran right-hand starter Eric Feder. So a young infielder and a middle-of-the-rotation starter are potentially called for immediate fixes that they'll be looking for. So here's my idea. If you would, dear viewer, cast your minds back to the Diamondbacks getting Josh Naylor in basically a straight swap plus a draft compensation pick for Slade Cicconi at the start of the year. I personally think that out of the two starting pitchers that were talked about potentially going in that trade, Slade was the least valuable of the two. The other one was Diamondbacks number 6 prospect Gilbert Diaz, and I think he probably commands similar value despite some recent struggles and not really getting as much showtime as he did last year. But he is probably longer term a starter rather than the bullpen guy that he's been brought up and down as. And then potentially you can put Dylan Ray in that conversation too, but he's a bit lower down the prospect rankings. But personally, I think Gilbert Diaz plus an infield guy like Ivan Melendez or Lou James Groover could be a very juicy offer to consider for the Cardinals. The Diamondbacks already have great depth in the corner infield spots. Josh Naylor and Eugenio Suarez are like the locked-in starters at first and third. Then Pavin Smith and Jordan Lawler are very much the deputies. And Tim Tower and Garrett Hampson are kind of ready to run solid backup wherever you need them. They're big utility guys. Plus, at second, you have Ildemar Vargas still down in Reno. So across that kind of third/shortstop/second area, you've got plenty of guys who can play there. Obviously, you're still waiting for Ketel Marte to come back and be the everyday starter at second. So Lou James Groover, who's quietly having himself a very good year down on the farm, certainly his value is going to be going up. Giving up Gilbert in a trade is potentially an L. I know a lot of guys are excited about the fact that a starter with good velocity is always good. But, you know, he's a hard-throwing righty, but he only has 3 pitches because there's not much difference between his 2-seamer and his 4-seamer. And with Brandon Fart locked down for the foreseeable future, Jordan Montgomery on a kind of a weird will-he-won't-he deal, and the likes of Yumin Lin developing well on the farm after having a late start to the year returning to Reno from military duty in Taiwan, I don't think Yilber would be too badly missed on the starting pitcher depth chart. And if we can extract a good bit of value and get somebody who could make as much of an immediate impact as Ryan Helsley has, I think that would be probably the win in the trade. Kind of what happens next in that trade saga remains to be seen. I am far from an expert on how some of these front office dealings do go down, but with more than 3 months until the trade deadline, it might not be as much of an immediate thing as we think. I'd say the Diamondbacks need to get on with it, but I have a sneaking suspicion that this could end up being quite frustrating, with the front office maybe waiting to see what the situation is with Ginkel and Graveman before committing. I think there's a lot of baseball coming up, however, so we might have to get cracking fairly quickly, because realistically every game counts. We missed the playoffs last year by one game, and we've already given up several losses due to stupid errors, so I think we need more of an immediate impact, and I think we need to do what it takes to get that. Coming up, we have 16 games in 16 days, which culminates with series against the Dodgers and the Giants, which is the first time we faced a divisional rival this year. And that's fairly crazy given how deep in the season we are already. But it's likely to be a long and difficult stretch that also includes the Phillies and the red-hot Mets in two series. So the Diamondbacks really could use all the help they can get. And signing a fastball monster all-star closer, if that's an option, I say we have to leap. And it's not so much a leap without looking, because everybody knows how good Ryan Helsley is. We're not jumping off a cliff and praying there's water below. He's the all-star closer. He throws 102 miles an hour. He's somebody that if a team like the Phillies are looking at, and they're definitely going to be a postseason contender, despite how bad their bullpen is right now, then if we want to contend at that level, we have to be contending for the same players, or at least the same caliber of players. So, Torey Lovello, Mike Hazen, get your clipboard out, get your, you know, whatchamacallit, your checkbook. Just go and do it. Pay him the money. You've got guys you can trade here. I don't think we're looking at like the much discussed potential Zach Gallen trade or anything like that. I think a Gallen for Helsley trade is giving up far much more than we'd get back. But certainly we have a lot of guys who aren't getting the game time they would want. And as Bob Brenly said on the Diamondbacks broadcast last night, everyone wants to play as much as possible, get as many minutes as possible, start every game. So some of these guys who are desperately looking for that, they would get that a lot more at the Cardinals than they would here right now. Certainly, you can include Yilber Diaz in that, because he's not going to be happy staying in Reno for the next year. I can guarantee that much. He's a character that always is looking to build and do better. So, yeah, go get Ryan Helsley. I think that's a win-win scenario. Even if, yeah, he is technically a righty and we don't really need any more righties, we do need a closer and a late-inning, high-leverage guy who can get the damn job done. So go and do it. That's sort of as best of a closing statement as I can make it. I'm starting to sound like a lawyer. Here's my argument, and here's why we should go and get it, yada, yada, yada. This isn't a legal show, so we're going to wrap that up there. The defense rests, Your Honor. I'm going to say thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much to the friends of the podcast over at the Home Run Travel Company. If you're in the UK and you fancy having all of your needs taken care of and just go and watch some baseball, have yourself an all-inclusive vacation over in the United States with an awesome group, which includes yours truly, get over to Home Run Travel right now, and you can still book for the tours for the East and West Coast. Later this year, we're going to be hitting up San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, Anaheim, and Seattle, seeing baseball games in all of those places. It's including a rematch of the World Series last year with the Dodgers hosting the Yankees, which is going to be amazing. I'm very excited to see Diamondbacks legend Luke Weaver get some action in that series. So yeah, go over to Home Run Travel, get yourself watching some baseball, and, you know, don't miss out, because it's awesome. We're going to end the episode there. Thank you very much for listening or watching, wherever you are. Please remember to follow or subscribe or like or whatever platform you're listening to. Do the thing that is click the thing, and then you get to hear about the thing. We're also on social media at TBacks Podcast. I've been your host at GB Diamondback. We'll see you on the next one. Goodbye.